Enterprise Solutions at Falcon Store Software. He's highly regarded storage expert with over 30 years of experience, including positions as storage architect at HDS, Sun Microsystems, and lead storage architect at Compaq. Chris also worked as an engineer and VMS consultant at Digital Equipment Corporation. He's the author of Storage Area Networks for Dummies and is a regular blogger for Computer World. Recently, Chris served as Deputy Commissioner of the Tech America Foundation Commission on the Leadership Opportunity in U.S. Deployment of the Cloud, Cloud Squared. Please welcome Chris Poker to Cloud Computing East.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank Marty and Sari for the quality of the speakers that you guys get for these shows. This is my third show, and I'm pretty much amazed by the folks that you guys have brought into this. So it's really good. So let's give an applause for Marty and Sari and the CCA and the DCIA. Hopefully this conference you've enjoyed well. So I've had the opportunity just recently to sit on a commission for the U.S. leadership in cloud computing, and it's called Cloud 2. And you could get there by, let's say, which one is this? The one that's worn out? Am I pointing it the wrong way? Am I one of those guys with the battery remote question? Yeah, put it in presentation mode first, right? Okay, good. Okay. So if you read about this, you go to the Tech America Foundation and you can read about the Cloud 2 initiative. And one of the goals of the commission, this is under the Secretary of Commerce, that's who we reported to, and it was also driven through the CIO, and at that time it was Vivek Kundra. And that's really where the Cloud First initiative came from for the federal government. And so there's a group of people that got together, about 72 folks, a couple of months meeting, folks from all across academia, and government and the industrial sector to come up with ways to figure out what the roadblocks are to moving to cloud computing. What can we do differently as a country, really, to help us be a leadership in the cloud? And we came up with 14 recommendations, and you can't see the bottom of them, but sorry about that. But these recommendations, some of them you can do as an organization, but a lot of them really need to be fixed by Congress. And at the bottom, really what it is, I'll go from the bottom to the top in importance, because I think training of the individuals that are in the organizations is a key concern, right? So if you're gonna drive the cloud, a lot of people are afraid, is that gonna take my job? And we want to make sure that we retrain those individuals to get the skill sets that they need, because what their position is going to move from is an IT manager more into a services broker position, right? Contracts and business becomes more important to their skill set. It's not just about technology anymore. You need to be able to have the right team with the right skills to be able to negotiate the contracts, because with cloud, especially with a public cloud, the contract is key. You need some financial recommendation if something goes wrong, and those things are very important. So the big things you can see here are transparency, transnational data flows, and trust. Well, we probably, as a country, could have done trust a little bit better in the past few years. As a matter of fact, I was on a roadshow in Canada recently, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in Canada, the government, actually the unions are driving the government to create laws that if you're a government employee and you have government information, that information cannot go out of the province. So it's even inter-province laws where the unions, you know, they don't want to lose their job, so they don't want the Canadian government to outsource to U.S. cloud providers, so you have to have a presence in that province before you can provide services. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because the things with NSA and Snowden, we've all heard about that. You know, security is key, but I think the trust piece is really where we can probably do a little bit better in the next couple of years, and hopefully that's the case. Now, the good news is I think the upcoming generation, from a security standpoint and even a privacy standpoint, do things a little bit differently than I do, kind of. Who of us actually reads them when you do a mobile app, go all the way down to the bottom and do the check mark, and you actually save that and Anybody see that South Park episode where Kyle, never mind, I won't go there, it's pretty gross. But the key is we don't really take security as seriously. Anybody use Facebook? Right? All right. So anybody do Twitter? Anybody do Instagram? Anybody use, you know, those genealogy sites and store your information up there, right? So who thinks I can't go on online now and find out who you are, who your friends are, where you've been geographically, where you're sitting right now based on your phone? And the good news is that the new generation, it doesn't matter to them. They actually want to be able to share that type of information. They all want to be famous, but they really want to share that. So I think things are changing, and it's probably changing from the good. But the other things that I think are important are not really number one in my book is the infrastructure standards. So who's to say if you go to a cloud provider that it's not a guy in his garage with an air conditioner and a lock on the door, right, with two extension cords going to two different power plugs, and it's a secure, you know, conditioned facility that you're putting your information in, right? So what are the actual standards that are driving that? And as part of the commission, I was on the infrastructure standards group. And we came up with some classifications or trying to do that. And this is an eye chart, but the stuff on the right there was developed through NIST, and that's the ongoing standards loop that they use. And my team kind of developed the stuff on the left there. And this is the ability going through this chart to actually take from an agency, application, or infrastructure to drive through if it's a general application or a custom application, what can you move to the cloud, whether that's going to be into a private cloud, like perhaps have the GSA provide that offering, or do it through a public cloud. Maybe it's Salesforce.com because it's email or something like that, or Microsoft. And then whether it's a collaborative cloud. And in my opinion, cloud computing, collaborative cloud is really where it's at. That's where we get the analytics. That's where we get the ability to share information, to really engage humanity to do good things. All right, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. The problem is from an infrastructure classification perspective, there's something called the Uptime Institute, and they classify data centers as tier one, tier two, tier three, and tier four. Well, tier four is the best, tier one is the worst. it you would think tier one would be, you know, the best. So there's a lot of confusion out there. You know, you can have a guy say, I have a tier one data center. It means he's got the worst thing that you can get, right? But you're gonna pay a premium to do that. So you need to make sure you're not confused, and that's why the services broker is so important to the organization, because they need to understand all of the intricacies of what you're doing when the contracts are created. So the cool thing about the government, though, and I got to give the government some credit here, not just because I was a deputy commissioner, because FedRAMP, I think, is interesting. FedRAMP is really ahead of the curve, in my opinion, where the government is actually leading and showing some true leadership here. Because think about that. Agencies used to do their own assessment of individual vendors and have them drive through their security process. So it was all repeated tasks. Once you go through FedRAMP, it's the same process for everyone, so everybody can share the results. So there's really nothing like that in the private sector yet. And I think there needs to be something internally that generates the stuff at FedRAMP. FedRAMP actually prohibits the guy in the garage to offer services to one of the agencies because he's got to meet certain metrics, right? And if that can be done across all of the different agencies and share that, then I think it's going to save taxpayer dollars in the long run from a security standpoint. So I've taken this eye chart here, and I'm created what I'm calling the cloud formation chart, right? Because, you know, in a lot of people's opinions, cloud is just water vapor and evaporation, really, still, right? There's still a lot of confusion there. So how do I get my applications from where they are today into a cloud environment so I can reap some of the benefits? So I've created that internal assessment process that's part of what FedRAMP is. So if you look through the classifications, it's a secure app, that's probably going to be in a private cloud. You're not going to be putting that data in somebody's cloud environment, but you'll be able to get the same benefits as a public cloud as long as you virtualize and provide the same data mobility and software enablement functions that you can that the public cloud providers do. So based on your assessment, and this is critical, because if you think about it, why would you move to the cloud in the first place? I mean, because it's cool technology or because it provides some benefit? So if you haven't done an internal assessment on the applications and understand, you know, what is the best application to move based on the value to the organization, you may not want to move to the cloud. How much does it cost to do backup and disaster recovery for a legacy app? Is that a candidate to go to the cloud, or would I have to take that application and reprogram it instead of scaling vertically to scale horizontally across multiple VMs in the environment? So you need to understand the interplay or the intricacies of each application, do that assessment, and then based on an application by application basis, run it through this little formation chart here and figure out what your end state goal is. It may just be staying private. So I don't know why this is all screwed up here, but these are my five steps of moving to the cloud. So the first step is to assess the infrastructure. You need to understand. So Marty, you actually didn't update my latest slides. I sent you an update, but I fixed the formatting. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So assess the infrastructure and understand what the costs are. So I visited in my career, you know, Fortune 100 companies. I've gone in, and a lot of them do move to the cloud based on the CIO saying that's where we want to go. But then they find out that financially it would have been better if they didn't do it, right? So you need to really understand and do that internal assessment to make that financial determination, first of all, if it's a good idea. Then you do a detailed analysis of each app, audit each app through a lens of security, priority, criticality, access, ownership, and those pieces of the application. You know, you want to make sure that the DBAs, if they're using big iron Oracle boxes, are not going to be mad that you're going onto a VM with 2 megs of memory and it's not going to function right. So you need to do that. And the next thing is enable mobility. So what was the reason why cloud computing this time instead of the 90s, right? The reason why it's actually taking root. And the reason is, I don't see any hands, so I'll just tell you. So what is the reason? You were at my last talk, I think.
Well, you might not like my answer, but I think one thing now is the ubiquity of broadband.
Exactly.
That is the right answer?
That's part of the answer. So security, right, is better, right? The bandwidth to be able to move data back and forth, the physics is fixed. And the biggest one is virtualization, right? There were a lot of PaaS and SaaS providers in the past, in the 90s, before the dot-com bust, right, that had to have like-for-like infrastructure from your location into the cloud. If you had EMC gear, you had to have EMC gear at the provider. If you had compact storage, you had to have compact storage. So it was like for like, even Dell to Dell and HP to HP servers. Now it doesn't matter. You virtualize the server and I can move that anywhere. I can do a vMotion, I can do A4V, I can do replication, it doesn't matter. So virtualization is the key technology. That, deduplication, encryption, all of the innovations in technology are finally being applied to make the advantages to optimize and make more efficient what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, and then ultimately take that from a CapEx model to an operational model, so now you're moving to a service versus doing it yourself. And again, that's why the skill sets of the people are so important, because if I outsource that, oh my God, I am the IT manager, I am no longer needed here, right? So that's why you need to make sure that doesn't happen. And step four, so that's mobility, and then step five is consolidate the infrastructure. If you want to do DR to the cloud, does it make sense to have 1,000 physical machines? Right, and multi-petabytes of data. So if I can collapse that onto virtual infrastructure, I can then move it more efficiently to the other side. If I take my legacy apps and I virtualize them, I can move them very simply. So it's all about intelligent abstraction of information, removing the physical elements out of the picture so that you have complete mobility of information. And that's the goal. So the good news is data is an asset, right? Data is cool. Data is growing fast. But what's the best way to handle the data explosion? We keep hearing that data is growing, multi-thousands of zettabytes every second, right? So how do we fix that? Well, we forgot to use the delete key, right? Nobody knows how to delete information anymore, and everybody's too afraid if they do delete it, oh, I may have needed that again, so I need to back that up 20 times, right? So the goal is data management. We need to know from a data perspective, let's leverage data. So there was in Africa, there was a natural disaster. And within that natural disaster, the relief agencies had no idea where to ship all of the relief supplies because the community dispersed and they didn't know where they were going. So somebody came up with a bright idea, and this was in MIT magazine just recently, to leverage the cell phone tower information of where those numbers moved to find out where they should send the relief supplies. And they did that and it saved people's lives. So that's the idea of leveraging data and information in a positive way to affect change and make you know this a better place to live. So data is key. But the problem is everything is changing fairly rapidly. You know, what I did traditionally for the last 20 years is going away. I always told my wife I should have been a brain surgeon because you don't need to know as much. Sorry if there are any brain surgeons here, sorry about that. Because there's no version 2.0 of the brain, right? We got version 8, version 9 of software applications. Everything changes on a daily basis now, right? So we got to keep our skill sets sharp. The problem is we are now moving data between private locations. We're going hybrid cloud. We're handling our data and sending, say, backup and DR out there, or we're just putting everything out in the cloud. But you need to have access and manage that data properly. So I'm creating a new term I'm calling intelligent abstraction. So this is the future of IT, right? We abstract all of our data elements from all of our physical elements, and now we have complete mobility of information globally. It doesn't matter what it's on, where it's at, what it is. You can now just access it, right? And then you add innovation and technology on top of that to innovate, dedupe it, single instance it, encrypt it, make sure it's secure, encrypt it at flight, encrypt it at rest. And that takes away the whole security aspects of doing this from an access perspective and a storage perspective. So we need to use computers for what they're supposed to do, is make our life easier, right? Not make our life more difficult. So intelligent abstraction really combines virtualization with intelligent automation, policy-based generation, so that you get your IT administrators from doing batch processing to automated functions across the organization, whether it's in the cloud or not. So, and here's my pitch for FalconStor, right? So we have a unified platform architecture that enables the application infrastructure to talk to the storage infrastructure, and these are the physical elements, and then we abstract all of that with our virtualization layer. We then, on top of that, include all of our data services that you need to apply to that to make this efficient, and wrap that with a REST API to be able to do it very efficiently. And then now you have single management console GUI for everything that you're doing, no matter where it is. If it's in the cloud, this we're calling the on-ramp to the cloud. How do you take a traditional app, virtualize it, and move it into an HP cloud or OpenStack cloud or whatever, or Amazon cloud? We can actually do that for you automatically. So we either move it on-ramp to another, you know, facility owned by you, or a facility owned by Glacier, or a facility owned by HP, or it doesn't really matter to us, wherever you want to do it. And the best part is it allows you to get your data back. If you don't like HP, you could suck it back and spit it out to AWS, or go from AWS and spit it out to your own data center or up to HP. It doesn't really matter to us. So it gives you complete data mobility and allows you operationally on your traditional infrastructure to get rid of backup, right? Backup and DR should be a service. It's no longer a batch process. You virtualize, you continually protect all of the data, you create a protection pool that everything's recovered from disk, it gets deduped, encrypted, and replicated offsite, and that becomes your DR. You press a button and it brings up the application in DR automatically. So keep it simple, stupid. That's the goal. And therefore, just like a washing machine, we're just going to keep it very simple. Give me everything because that's what I want. And that's